The Veterans Report is sponsored by James Cannon.
Welcome to the Veterans Report, the region's only show dedicated to those who have served our country. We have the latest news and information on resources available to veterans, including health care, education, employment tips, local volunteer organizations, and more. To those who have served, those who are serving, and to those who will, we salute you. And now, the host of the Veterans Report, Jim Cannon.
Hey there, welcome back to the Veterans Report. If you want to follow along with the news, you can jump on the website, theveteransreport.com. You can also go to our Facebook page or use our Twitter account, which is pretty active. And so all of the stories we discussed today, as well as the guest we'll have on at the halfway mark, will be on the website. And speaking of which, our guest today is with Hire Our Heroes, the chairman and founder, Dan Caporel. So he will be on at about the halfway mark. So hang in there, stay tuned, and it's going to be a really cool interview. Hire Our Heroes is a great organization. They're doing really phenomenal things for the veteran community. They do training and certifications for different cyber programs, if I understand that correctly. But Dan's going to walk through all that. So hang tight and stick around, because it's a great group. They're changing lives, and it's a wonderful story. So that's kind of exciting. So I don't know if you heard about Amtrak, the rail company, right? The passenger rail company Amtrak decided to end their veterans discount. I gotta confess, I didn't know they had a veterans discount, but Amtrak announced it will no longer provide discounts to military veterans and their families, a benefit the company has maintained for 17 years. Which begs the question, why weren't they doing it before? But that's that's a different discussion. So beginning in 2001, Amtrak offered Veterans Advantage members 15% savings on Amtrak tickets for nationwide travel and for, if I say this correctly, Acela Express travel on the weekends. But they decided recently to end the discount, stating that not enough people were using it. Naturally, a politician, I know you're going to be shocked, a politician decided to get in the middle of this, because politicians have never seen any kind of crisis they can't take advantage of. So in this case, it happens to be Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, who is demanding Amtrak, in parentheses, a private sector company. There's more to that, right? Is demanding that Amtrak reinstate discounts for veterans and their families after the company ended them recently. So as I understand it, Amtrak used, I'm speaking off the cuff here, so if I'm incorrect, I hope somebody lets me know. I thought Amtrak at some point had some kind of government tie to it, some kind of federal government tie. And I don't think it was just the use of the rail. I thought they were, I'm going to dig into that one. A little light bulb went off in my head. I thought Amtrak used to be subsidized to a degree, or maybe they still are. Well, probably not, right? They used to be subsidized by the feds. I don't know why I'll leave that one alone. Politicians are going to be politicians. We're not going to change that. So there was another story about our friends at, it's related to our friends at Team Rubicon. I'm not going to get into all the details. This is also on the website, the veteransreport.com website. And this was from a KPCC, which is a public radio station out west. I think it's California. So the story was more veterans are heading west to fight a new battle, worsening wildfires. To date, Team Rubicon and BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, have trained more than 900 firefighters. And this year, the program is significantly expanding. It's on course to reach a total of nearly 2,000 trained wildland firefighters by the end of 2018. Now, I got to tell you, I'll leave the rest of the details for the website and Facebook page. If you don't know about Team Rubicon, we had them on here a number of months ago, talked to them at length about who they are and what they do. I was kind of familiar with them, but I didn't know all of the details. This is a unique organization in that it's they basically step into, I will say, supplement or complement federal efforts when there are disasters, i.e. floods, like the floods last year in Texas and Florida. Team Rubicon got involved with a lot of the rescue efforts, and then afterwards they were integral, really, in a lot of the rebuilding down there with the houses and the buildings and hauling away all of the debris. I was looking for the right word there. Vocabulary block today. But Team Rubicon, really, they do a lot. And it's really, the way it's set up is really cool. They have sort of a curriculum. It's almost like a college-level curriculum, but with sort of hands-on tasks that you can get certified in. And, wildland firefighting is one of them. But they go through the entire, sort of the entire FEMA hierarchy, the structure. And I don't know if you've ever been, if anybody out there has been a firefighter or a cop or even in the military and you've been involved, or you've been with the Red Cross, right? And you've been involved in some kind of natural disaster or some kind of major event, there's a hierarchy on the ground that you would think naturally, if it's a flood in a neighborhood, you think, oh, well, the local cops are in charge. That's not how it works. There's a completely different leadership system, and people assume different roles, and so there are specific tasks, and you have to be a part of these things. You have to be certified. You have to go through the classes. You have to learn what that structure looks like, how to operate, really how to integrate yourself into something like that, a major event. And what Team Rubicon does is they go in and they're a lot of their folks are certified in certain areas, right? So you might have somebody that's trained and certified as a professional logger, right? So they might go in and cut down trees. You might have somebody who's people with a skill set where they're formally trained to, I'm making this up because I don't have it in front of me. Maybe they're a trained boat captain. They're a licensed boat captain. So during these floods, they can commandeer a bigger boat and they can take it out there. But it's things like that. And this wildland firefighting program, this thing's been going on for years. Obviously, it's a bigger concern out on the West Coast, but 900 firefighters to date. That's amazing. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the wildfires out West. I lived through a couple of those when I lived out that way, and it's scary. I mean, it you will look at it, and it seems like it's miles away. You see smoke in the distance, and I mean within a day, it's in your backyard. And you're getting evacuated. And these folks go in there, these wildland firefighters, they go in there, and they are on the front lines. That's not a figurative mention. They're on the front lines of these things out there doing the dance with these fires. And between them and BLM, my hat's off to these folks. But anyway, Team Rubicon is training a bunch of people, and it says, again, on course to reach a total of nearly 2,000 trained wildland firefighters by the end of this year. So, hey, if you're a vet, if you're in pretty decent shape, I'm probably a little long in the tooth to be out there running up and down hills and putting out fires and living on the edge of danger. But if you're somewhat younger and you're in pretty good, decent shape, go to Team Rubicon, check it out. There's going to be something for you. There's going to be some kind of interest, something that sparks you a little bit where you go, man, I want to be certified in that. I want to help out with that. And this is a great, Team Rubicon's awesome because a lot of vets are looking for that peer group. They're looking for sort of an outdoor physical activity with a peer group where they feel like it's of import. So they don't want to just hang out and play volleyball. Not that I'm knocking Top Gun, great movie, but they want to do something that's helpful. And Team Rubicon provides that. So I can't praise these folks enough. It's an incredible group. So check them out. Now, you don't necessarily have to, you don't have to be a veteran to be a part of this. I'm just teeing that up for any vets out there who are sort of looking for, you know, maybe you have a gap. Maybe you're going to wrap up school soon and you're looking for something to do for a couple of months, maybe a year, sort of take a break and get back in the fight, so to speak. But you don't have to be a vet to do this. You can be a civilian and do the same thing. And again, everything else, I mean, the same thing applies. You should probably be in pretty good physical condition. I know for some of these disasters, they will deploy people to different countries. And that's a whole other ballgame because you have to have all of your stuff in order, your passport, your vaccinations. Then you have to go through a slightly different training in order to qualify to go to different countries. But check them out. Team Rubicon, great group, and doing wonderful things, really. So there was another story, and I know at this one I'm not even going to get into the details, but this, I've read stories like this before. This is also from public broadcasting. This is out near Seattle. Veterans urge Navy to stop jet training over Olympic National Park. Basically, the crux of this is the Navy's been doing flyovers there for a year. Is it Whidbey Island? I think that's the one that's out there, right? Navy base, Naval Air Station. Anyway, their jets, obviously they have to train, and so some people who moved close to Olympic National Park, which is this beautiful, pristine, you know, vast forest that butts up against the mountains, they're now complaining about the noise from the jets. I don't know. And they're asking the Navy to stop. Now, I will say the story, the headline, and kudos to these folks for writing this story, KUOW. But I think the headline is a little misleading. It says, Veterans Urge Navy, da 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 da. They had like two or three, right? There's a small group of veterans out there who, they're residents who bought houses who happen to be vets. You know, by and large, I don't think most people are overly concerned about it. But I get it. I get the whole noise pollution thing. But, I mean, who was there first, right? Was the Navy there first? Did you move in and know that the Navy base was there? That's one of those things where, you know, maybe you chose the wrong rock to move. I don't know. So, what else? Oh. I did want to touch on this real quick, and then I'm going to get into sort of the meaty story for the day. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and you've walked through all of the outdoor displays, one of the most, somber is probably the right word, is the Korean War Memorial, Korean War Veterans Memorial. I want to get the name right. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, basically it's in this little, it looks like a garden, like a Japanese garden. Well, I guess it would be a Korean garden. And they have statues. They have like life-size statues of U.S. soldiers in their sort of their field gear. They have their helmets and they're dragging their rifles and they, you know, they're wearing ponchos. And it's supposed to represent kind of a patrol, right? Troops on a patrol. And there's 19 of them. Black granite. Oh, no, wait. No, that's on the wall. I'm sorry. The wall has black granite. These are life-size statues. And it's pretty moving. You can walk sort of, they have like a little sidewalk that goes between it. The statues are on one side and then the other. And there's foliage and there's really beautiful during the spring and the summer. I haven't been there in the winter. But that's what it's supposed to sort of remind everybody of. But anyway, the gentleman who designed it, who sculpted that, recently passed away. He was 93 years old. His name was Frank Gaylord. Frank Gaylord, a Vermont sculptor who created the 19 statues in a column tableau of battle-tested soldiers for the memorial on the Mall in Washington, died March 21st in Northfield, Vermont. Now, Mr. Gaylord was a, he was in World War II. He was a paratrooper, got the Bronze Star Medal for his participation in the Battle of the Bulge. And he said his, when he got the job to do the sculptures, he said he wanted to, and this is a quote, confront visitors with the reality of actual war, while he complied with the design committee's instructions not to glorify it. And I gotta tell you, having seen it, it's, there's no glory to that display. It's, it, I use the word moving, and it really is. Originally, the number of statues was at 38, and they reduced it to 19. And it's in a really small spot. It's not like they're spread out over a couple hundred yards. It's in a tight, tight spot. So he had an interesting history, though. He, you know, he did a lot of different sculptures, including the sculpture of Thomas Chittenden, the first governor of Vermont. President Calvin Coolidge, a native Vermonter, conductor Arthur Fiedler of the Boston Pops Orchestra. And he also did a Little League monument in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which is, as some of you know, the site of the Little League World Series. And he also did a statue of William Penn for a park in Philadelphia. He said his career as a sculptor began taking shape when his grandmother made clay animals for him when he was 3 years old. And he said, I'd take it to her and ask her to make me another, and she'd say, I don't have time to do it again. You do it, he said. And here I am. So he went to, after the war, he went to Temple University in Philly, used the GI Bill, and he graduated in 1950. And one of his first jobs as a sculptor was doing granite headstones for cemeteries. That's kind of interesting. July of 2003, the U.S. Postal Service, I remember this story, issued a 37-cent Korean War stamp commemorating the 50th anniversary of the end of hostilities. Mr. Gaylord sued, claiming the Postal Service had used his work without his permission. And in 2013, thank you, U.S. court system, for moving at lightning speed, the U.S. Court of Federal Claims ordered the Postal Service to pay him $684,000 in damages. And in addition to sculpting, because that wasn't enough, Mr. Gaylord was an actor in the Bar Players Theater Ensemble. And he is still remembered in Vermont for his performance as Professor Henry Higgins in the theatrical group's production of the musical My Fair Lady. Now, I walked through all that because I think it's important. You know, we talk about veterans, we talk about veterans groups, we talk about very high-ranking officials, we talk about, you know, pseudo-celebrities. Frank Gaylord was not a celebrity. He was just a guy who happened to be a sculptor. But what he did, his work, is it's a testament to the dedication and the emotion that goes into something like that. And I think it's important. This is my sort of editorial. I think it's important to recognize people like that because it's very easy for us to only look at the folks who make the headlines on a regular basis. So thank you, Mr. Gaylord. Godspeed. So as you might have heard, the Department of Veterans Affairs has a new skipper at the helm, David Shulkin, Dr. David Shulkin. Who I have touted as a reformer and a change agent at the VA, is out, which is kind of a bummer. But he is being replaced by, Donald Trump is replacing him with Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who is the White House physician. And Dr. Jackson has been around, I think this is his third administration, so Bush, Obama, and now Trump. But yeah, he's the White House physician. He's a Navy admiral. He's a doctor. So he is taking over. And you know, there are already groups out that, you know, lashing out that this means, because he has a good relationship with Donald Trump, that this means the VA is going to be privatized, right? I got to tell you, that's, give the guy a break. You know, let him at least try to get in the mix and let him have the job for a little bit. I mean, what's he going to do? Screw it up? I mean, if you look at some of the past VA secretaries, I'm not talking Shulkin. I'm talking like going back years and years. You look at Togo West. You look at Shinseki. You look at Nicholson. You look at, what was the other guy's name? And then there was McDonald. McDonald held on. McDonald didn't have any scandals. I think he was in the office for 4 years. He didn't do a bad job, but he didn't change anything. At least Shulkin was changing it, but we'll see what this guy does. I mean, he couldn't do any worse, right? If he does any worse, he'll get bounced out too, and then he'll probably lose his position. Well, I'm sure he's going to lose his position anyway. He'll have to resign it at the White House in order to take over. So I don't see the big deal. I guess I would implore everybody, give the guy a shot. Let him try it. Again, he's a Navy admiral. He is a doctor. It's not his first day on the job. You know, and if you look back at VA secretaries, there really is no, I read a story that says there is no criteria for being the VA secretary. There are no job requirements per se. You know, if you look back at the past secretaries, none of them had experience leading an organization like this. Not one of them. Some were vets. Some were doctors. I think there have been two that were both, two or three. But there are no, if you look at their background and experience, there's nothing that you point to and go, well, every guy needs that or has that. One of them was the head of, I think it was the Disabled Vets of America. He was the executive director. That was his big qualification. Shinseki was a retired Army general. You know, and you go down the list, none of these guys have, there's no baseline for their criteria. So this guy being a Navy admiral, being a physician and having been around three presidential administrations, clearly an apolitical dude. I mean, he'd have to be, otherwise he couldn't stick around through. How do you stick through Bush and then Obama and then hang around for Trump? I mean, you talk about three vastly different administrations, but this guy did it. And so again, let's see how it goes. Give him a shot. And again, if he screws it up, he'll be out, right? But it's like that, I don't know if you've seen that image, what happens if I fall? It's the bird, right? The bird, the mama bird with the baby bird. And the baby says to the mom, what happens if I fall? And the mom says, well, what happens if you fly? Right? It's the same thing here. If he fails, he fails. But what happens if Dr. Jackson succeeds? What happens if he picks up the torch that Shulkin laid down and he runs with it? I don't understand the fear, the terror that comes from some of these VSOs about privatized, any part of privatized care. The private sector does things better than the federal or the public sector does. That's proven. The only thing really that the public sector does better is, on the military end. I don't think privatizing healthcare would be a bad thing at the VA, or some combination thereof. If we're going to spend that much money on healthcare, we're going to spend that much money on the VA, why wouldn't you want to explore the best options? Quit throwing money at the same system. Quit throwing money at the same structure. And I say that because there are continually stories coming out of the VA, no matter how much money we spend, right? Their budget is what? It's gone up 5-8 times in the last 15 years. And there are still problems with the VA. So clearly it's not a money issue. And clearly it's not the same system, right, that's working. So yeah, let's give Admiral Jackson a shot here. And there was a story on here I wanted to cover. It had to do with it's kind of related. The Department of Veterans Affairs has paid $8.7 million in sexual harassment settlements since 1998. Between 1998 and today, the VA has settled 263 claims involving sexual harassment and paid out a total of $8.7 million to survivors. The figures range from $40 to $200,000, with most somewhere between $1 and $50,000. Of the total, $4 million was paid out to victims in cases where sexual harassment was the only charge. Now, on the one hand, you can get upset with the VA and say that's ridiculous. On the other hand, you can A, do the math and say between 1998 and 10 years, $8.7 million. If the VA were a company, a corporation, and I'm not minimizing sexual harassment. I'm looking at strictly the dollar figures, the settlement of figures. That's really not that much, right? For the size of what, for the VA size and breadth and budget, $8 million over 10 years in legal settlements, not that bad. The other part of that is, and I just want to throw this out there, $8.7 million is just less than half of what Congress has paid to settle the same kind of suits. And Congress is supposed to be overseeing what the VA does. I'll just let that one resonate for a second. So, oh man, we're bumping right up against the halfway mark here. So last week, let me get into the poll question. Where are we here? Last week, and this relates to what I just said. Last week, the poll asked, do you agree with privatizing portions of VA care? How do you feel about that? Do you agree with doing that? And it was 2-1 in favor of doing it. So kind of a balanced split. This week's poll, completely different, and we're going to step out of the bounds here for a minute. On March 15th, 2018, the Federal Commission of Fine Arts approved a site for the construction of the Desert Storm War Memorial. The memorial will commemorate Operation Desert Storm, which lasted from January 17th to February 28th, 1991, and was the combat phase of what we know as the Gulf War. There have been some critics of the memorial who say due to the brief combat phase, there should not be a memorial erected. Supporters say since combat is combat and U.S. and coalition troops gave their lives, the memorial is justified regardless of the combat timeline. So the question this week, this is on the Facebook page, do you agree with building a Desert Storm War Memorial? Jump on the Facebook page and cast your vote. And we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Dan Caporel, with Hire Our Heroes. If you want to keep up with the latest in veteran news away from the radio, stop by our website at www.theveteransreport.com. There you'll find news headlines, along with links to media outlets around the world. You can also find links to every state's veteran services office. And for you film buffs, there's even a link to a war movie database. We appreciate you stopping by the Facebook page at facebook.com/theveteransreport. There, like the website, you'll find the latest news and information related to veterans. For you high-speed individuals who want to limit yourself to 140 characters, stop by our Twitter account. It's a great way to find information on veteran organizations throughout the country and what they're up to. You can tweet us by using @TheVetsReport. If you'd like to email the show directly, please send us your input, comments, or suggestions to editor@TheVeteransReport.com. Thanks again for checking out our pages. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting our veterans community. And we're back on the Veterans Report. Thanks for tuning in. With us now is our guest, Dan Caporel, the founder and chairman of Hire Our Heroes. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. I know you have a lot of information to run through. And let's start big picture with Hire Our Heroes. What is the organization? What is it and what do you do? What's your mission?
Yeah, great question. So our goal really at the end of the day is to position veterans for success once they transition out of the military. So, and we do that by multiple different vehicles, but mostly it's through training.
And what kind of training?
So, I mean, we'll focus on IT because IT or cybersecurity seems to be a hot topic these days. Everybody's information is kind of getting scraped off the internet or stolen or whatever it may be. So if a veteran's interested in getting schooled up on cybersecurity, they're able to come in into Hire Our Heroes and get trained in one of many disciplines, cybersecurity being one of them. They get trained and certified in a certain discipline or a certain language or skill set. And when they get certified, it'll position them for success either in their current job or if they're looking for a next opportunity. Cybersecurity is a hot spot today. To give you an idea, just in the past 2 years alone, we've trained over 30,000 veterans in cybersecurity alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't realize it was that robust. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've got a partnership with DHS. It's called Fed VTE, Fed Virtual Training Environment. And basically, it's a vehicle where veterans can go register online through Hire Our Heroes and check the box on any one of those disciplines that they're interested in getting trained on. And again, cybersecurity is the hot topic of the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it may be. But it's really where veterans can come in and relatively easy, based on training, kind of dip their toe in the water and start to excel themselves in that space.
No, that's amazing, Dan. And I will confess, I completely misunderstood that aspect of it. When you said training, I was assuming you sort of, I don't know, you had sort of a Rolodex. I know that's old school language that you steered people toward to get certifications and to get training, but you're actually doing it. You're the ones running this.
Correct. So we've got, and we do it through partnerships, right? So we anything and everything we do is free to the veteran. If we can't offer it free, we're not offering it. So we partner with half a dozen or so organizations that have or provide a vehicle that gives training or offers training to our veterans, and we do that for free. The majority of it's all virtual, so it's self-driven or self-paced. So if you've got the discipline or the drive or the ambition to want to get skilled up in one of these areas or these disciplines, we'll provide you the vehicle to do it. So we'll lead you to water. You could do a little heavy lifting on the end, on your end, but when you get out, you'll be able to get certified. Once you get that certification, it's going to position you for success, either in your current job by, increasing your current role in an organization, increasing your pay, or the opportunity to step into the field of cybersecurity or, just in the IT space overall.
And that's fantastic. And I appreciate the fact that it demands, there's a demand for effort on everybody's part. So it really is a sort of a true partnership, because if people have skin in the game, they're certainly going to apply themselves, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that is cool.
We just signed a huge partnership with another organization not long ago called Skillsoft.
Oh.
So Skillsoft, I'm not sure if you know the name, but a lot of people might out there. They're one of the largest, if not the largest, virtual training companies out there. And what Skillsoft and Hire Our Heroes have done, they've come together and with the opportunity to offer over 100,000 enterprise user licenses or seats for veterans to get training in anywhere from Microsoft Word or, high-level executive management, coaching, mentoring, really their whole enterprise portfolio, all free to the veteran. And again, position the veteran for success. That's what we do at Hire Our Heroes.
So these certifications are like the top-notch real deal. I mean, they're not like some fly-by-night thing. They're the real thing if vets are interested.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
awesome. That is awesome. So we can cover the other stuff in a second because I have a whole list here, but so I'm a vet, right? And I want to get trained in some of this stuff. Are there certain qualifications or prerequisites in order to jump into one of these?
As long as you served honorably, you can come to hireourheroes.org and register. Once you register, it's basically a multi-step process. You've got to enter your first name, last name, kind of jump through the hoops, verify that you're a vet. It's all done virtually. Bank-level encryption. Hits the DoD database, comes back, and gives you a thumbs up. You receive a notification that you've been accepted into the program, and then you're off to the races.
Oh, that's great. So you don't. I guess my point was you don't need a security clearance, or you don't need some
no,
particular
no,
rank
no,
or
not
anything
at all.
Like that.
No, sir.
That is phenomenal. So now you mentioned hierarchyheroes.org, and there's also a .com, right?
That's correct.
So there's a distinct difference between the two.
There is. Hierarchyheroes.org is the nonprofit vehicle that provides training, education, and mentorship. Hierarchyheroes.com is the veteran job board. There's hundreds and hundreds of companies across the country that are really looking to hire veterans. There's a problem out there today. Corporate America can't find the veteran, and the veteran can't find corporate America. I don't know why. No matter how much opportunity that's presented to either side of the table, there's a disconnect. Hire Our Heroes has really become that connective tissue that brings the two together. So whether it's through training, and once the veteran's getting trained, well, you know, we're able to present those veterans to other opportunities, or go right to the veteran job board, hireourheroes.com, and you can see thousands of jobs posted out there for companies that are interested in hiring veterans.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, and again, all free to the veteran.
So the employers that are listed on your site, I mean, you know, I've been to I don't know how many different job boards, right? And at a certain point, you know, a lot of them give lip service to the veteran community. But are the veterans on your site, are they actually, so they're seeking out veterans. They're specifically targeting vets.
That's correct. And you're right. There are a lot of companies that give the lip service. There's a lot of people that say they hire veterans, that say they want to hire veterans, and you know, and I run past them every day. A lot of it's just smoke and mirrors, right? They kind of just say it because they feel like it's a feel-good thing for them. These organizations that are on hireourheroes.com are actually paying, I mean, a small entry, you know, to get in and post their job, but they're making an investment to tap into that veteran population, whether it's from, you know, a part-time job to a full-time job, from an entry-level job to, you know, a senior executive job. I mean, there's all opportunities out there.
And that's both, I'm assuming that you have both public and private sector listed.
Correct.
Okay. So it's not just Border Patrol.
No, there's local opportunities depending on what state you live in. There's national opportunities. I mean, it really is very broad-based.
So why, and this is going to get in the weeds a little bit, but I want to get your take on it because you're the expert on this. Why do you think companies would specifically, and this might sound real basic to you and me, but why would they specifically target or reach out to recruit veterans specifically?
It's all about discipline. It's all about esprit de corps, as I call it, right? It's all about the integrity. The fact that, you know, they think that they probably have a better chance of a veteran waking up and showing up to work the next day than they do the average Johnny or Sally down the street. There's a certain level of discipline that comes with a veteran, and I think, you know, the corporate America today is looking for that because the labor pool is shrinking, and the amount of qualified resources out there are tighter and tighter. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for them to tap into really what I consider is an untapped market. There's just so many veterans out there that either are underemployed or unemployed that we work with these organizations to really just, again, be that connective tissue to connect the dots at the end of the day.
So what do you, and this is, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, but in your opinion, without getting into analytics, what do you think the solution is? Or the direction is for vets who are underemployed, because you're absolutely right, and I know that recent studies have shown that vets, relative to their civilian counterparts, are not working up to the level they could. So, is there an answer or
education? You know, I think the easiest answer is education. Let's just throw out an example out there. You and I are sitting here talking today. You could be a help desk guy, you know, during the day or at night after or before your show. And, you know, you've taught yourself kind of entry-level computer skills, no certifications, you're kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. You take those skills and you go ahead and apply it to some of this training. You come out and get a certification. Let's call it an A-plus and a Security Plus certification. Those are required to, you know, go work for the government today. Once you get those certifications, you're going to get in the door and, you know, you're making, you know, might be making $15 an hour, now you're making $20, $25, and it continues to, you know, to help catapult you in that direction at the end of the day. It's all about education, and that's really the goal. You know, what we do here at Hire Heroes, we're trying to provide that vehicle from being underemployed to being able to have a sustainable living and to support your family.
So, and obviously, I mean, you've built partnerships with a lot of really, you know, big names out there in terms, you know, government and private sector. But apart and aside from that, I mean, do you have interactions like that where you guys sit and sort of kibitz over, you know, how do we address this problem? How do we tackle this one? More theoretical than actually talking about jobs. I mean, do you have those kinds of relationships with those folks?
I do. And, you know, we do as an organization. You know, we've got a strong board and, you know, a decent group of support around us. A lot of organizations have a tough time understanding how to hire a veteran. Because they think it's just a traditional hire where, you know, some of the guys and girls that come out might be just coming back from theater, coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever it may be. You know, their personality or terminology, you know, might not be same as, you know, Susie, who's your average HR person down the hallway. So we try and educate the hiring entity that, hey, you know, you want to hire veterans, but you got to understand, you know, sometimes there's a little bit different of approach in order to do that. And there's some mechanism for success. Do you tap into your current veteran population that's working internally? Do you have mentors or people to team them up with? Right? There's a lot of different things that organizations could do to make sure that these veterans that they're hiring are successful in their transition and into their new company.
Yeah, that makes sense, and it is a sort of a cultural balance that everybody has to reach. But that goes back to your original point, which is, you know, the onus is on the vet a lot of times to sort of, you know, step into the mix and make some changes too.
Yep, the vet needs to do a little bit on their own, right? Again, you know, they need to, you know, get up in the morning, put their pants on, tie their shoes, and, you know, kind of be the adult in the room, and, you know, at the same time, communicate effectively, right? Because if an employer or a manager doesn't understand an individual for one reason or another, they got to be able to voice their opinions. And that's important. Communication's key.
Now, you might have touched on this earlier. I jotted down a quick note and just found it again. That's what happens when you age, right? You lose your place. So how long do these certification classes take, or does it just depend on really what it is?
Really depends on what it is. I mean, you know, so you could go in there and take a class that's going to last a week, or you could take something that's going to last 12 weeks. It really depends on what level of certification or training you're going for. There's over 450 channels alone in courseware specific to the Skillsoft partnership I just mentioned. And within those channels, there's certain tracks, whether it's cybersecurity, IT software technician, data integration, network core concepts, or something to that effect, that these veterans could tap into. And it'll take them through each of those tracks. And when they complete those tracks, they'll take the certification trial test, and then they'll go out there and take the actual test. And then once they take that test and get passing grade, they get that certification.
Well, the really cool aspect to this is the virtual side of things, right? Because it allows for a lot more flexibility.
It does. It does. There's a, you know, specific, again, going back to that Skillsoft, you know, one of the many partnerships. It's basically classroom in a pocket, right? I mean, there's an app where you could take these classes on your mobile phone. High speed, low drag is what I like to say. It's good stuff.
So, I mean, really hypothetically, you could work full time while you're getting one of these certifications and then instantly step up to something else.
Correct. Correct.
That is yep. Amazing. That is amazing. So how long have you been at this? How long have you been doing this?
So I started Hire Heroes about 5 years ago. You know, I served 8 years in the Marine Corps Reserve, got out as a sergeant. I was a satellite communications specialist. Went to four different MOS schools the Marine Corps put me through. Got amazing training. I was working on the unmanned drone program back in the day before anybody knew what a drone was, out of the Naval Research Lab in the Pentagon. And when I got out, I thought I had a great skill set and that, you know, hopefully one day somebody would pick me up. I couldn't find a job. I wound up in the staffing industry felt like I was on an island by myself, you know, which typically happens today. Little to no direction once you leave the military. A buddy of mine tapped me on the shoulder, and you know, he said, "Hey, you got to check this business out." And when I got in there, I was positioned to help people. They knew where I was a veteran, so I was the go-to guy for veterans. So anytime anybody came across a resume that was a veteran, they passed it to me. Through the years, it's evolved into really just a hobby and a passion of mine. And I realized that the problem, it was a lot worse and continued to get worse through the years that, 5 years ago, we stood this up really with the goal that if we could help one more veteran today than we did yesterday, we're moving the chains and, you know, we're accomplishing our mission. And here we are, you know, hundreds of thousands of veterans that we've touched. And again, you know, 30,000 in cyber alone in the last 2 years. It's phenomenal. I think we're doing great stuff. We could always do more. We're always looking to do more. It's just a passion of mine and something way for me to give back to the vets.
Well, I tell you, it is such a cool story. I mean, you know, everybody and their brother thinks they're going to go out and start a nonprofit and they're going to do something, and then, you know, a year goes by and it drops off the radar. But you have a 501c3 set up, right? It's up and running.
That's correct.
And like you said, helping tens of thousands of vets, and that's an amazing success story in itself.
We're platinum certified. All of our financials are transparent. I originally started and funded the organization myself the first couple of years. We've been 100% volunteer up until this past year, where we actually have two paid employees up until this point, just to make sure our programs continue to fall in place and continue to, you know, push that message out.
So cool. I got to throw in a quick plug for a fellow devil dog. So I want to say Semper Fi. And I went to comm school in 29 Palms as well. So
you did?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hoorah. All right. Good old 29 Palms. We did a 25-31,
yep.
25-42, and a 25-35, which brought me out to 32nd Street Naval Base there for a little bit in Coronado Island.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, I went to 42 school, but I worked as a 31 my first year, so it figures, right? It figures.
Yeah.
At that point, I should have just gone infantry.
I didn't know. Semper Fi.
Where was I? I lost my place because I'm getting all misty-eyed now. So you have some events coming up, right, around the country?
We do. So we've got, we do a bunch of different stuff. You know, one of the things that resonates most is we've got a couple of virtual career fairs coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran, so corporations come in, they sign up and register to hire veterans. Rather than going to a career fair in a venue, they'll do it all online. So companies will come in, set up a virtual booth. Veterans can come in, sign up, and basically interview on the spot, whether it's over chat, over Skype, submit their resumes, set a follow-up appointment one-on-one, and it's all done virtual. So our first one's coming up April 25th. Here in the next month, you can go to hireourheroes.org or hireourheroes.com to find out more. Just type in job fair. Our second one is July 25th, which, by the way, is National Hire a Veteran Day. We got that put into proclamation last year. Every year on July 25th is National Hire a Veteran Day, founded by Hire Our Heroes. So we're pretty excited about that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Absolutely, yeah. Good stuff.
That's really cool.
And then November 7th will be our third, just around Veterans Day there, towards the end of the year.
So again, you walked through this already, but so I'm looking for a job. I get on your website, I register, right? So these virtual job fairs, because I've never done one of these, does it pop up like a chat box?
It does. You'll go into a room and you'll connect with a recruiter. You and the recruiter will start having a conversation. Some of them take it offline. Some of them set up phone screens with you right there on the spot. Some of them will do Skype interviews as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a different approach, right? So you don't have to, you know, whether you're going to have to leave what you're doing, pick up and go, put a knot on and head out the door. It's all virtual. So
I mean, just so you're not, I don't know what the protocol is, but I mean, when you register, do you upload a resume then, or is this sort of a feel out the employer, employer feel out the vet kind of thing first? Or
combination of both. Each employer has a different, a different process. It's all different.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'll be happy to send you an email with that link if you'd like. I'm not sure if you want to share that on your blog or your website or whatnot, but we'll make sure we get that information over to you.
Yeah, please do. We have a pretty robust social media presence, so we'll get that out there. As well as, and I know the one on the 25th, that's the one with the WTF Nation Radio folks, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, yeah, we're partners and friends, so... We all know each other, so that's fantastic. But yeah, I know, right? The universe shrinks.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we got pretty good. We have a lot going on, right? I mean, there's a couple of different things, as far as programs going on today. For instance, we've got partnerships where Amazon Web Services, for instance, if you're interested in working from home or working for Amazon. You can go in and get one or two certifications through Amazon Web Services, coming through Hire Our Heroes. Once you go in, get the certification, get the training first, then you get the certification. If they complete the training, they'll give you a certification class. Once you pass the certification, almost immediately they'll set up a phone screen with you with a hiring manager. If you pass that phone screen, they'll next either make you an offer on the spot or set up a Skype interview and make you an offer on the spot. They'll give you an opportunity in one of three locations, Washington, D.C., Texas, or California. They'll pay for a relocation, and you're on the Amazon payroll. Pretty cool stuff.
Wow. Wow, that's big news.
Yeah. There's just a handful of stuff that, if a lot of it focuses around IT just because that's the hot spot, the barrier to entry is fairly easy to get in. And there's other opportunities as well. Like, for instance, we've got about 350 openings where we're looking for call center people. So you could actually work from home and be in a call center job. I think the jobs pay, they pay, depending on where you live, $13 and some on change an hour. But you work 8 to 10 hours a day, working from your living room or your kitchen or wherever you're working from. You're doing some pretty cool stuff, and that's open to military spouses and any honorably discharged veteran.
Well, there is something to be said for working from the comfort of your couch. So,
yeah,
not that any absolutely. Of us have known that for some time, but
there's an example. So, you go in, you take a call center job, and you don't have any certifications, you don't know much about IT. You might know a little bit, good enough to kind of walk yourself through it, but you go in, entry level, take this type of opportunity, then you go and get certified and get an A-plus certification or a Security Plus certification, you're automatically going to get an immediate raise into that type of next opportunity or get a, move up into the next pay grade just because of getting that type of certification.
Man, this is, it's so quick and it's so efficient and it's so convenient, all of it.
That's what it's all about. I mean, it's, you got to make things, quick and easy, 2-3 clicks away. Our website's got a little convoluted through the years just because, it was one of the things when we started Hire Our Heroes, be careful what you wish for. It was a hobby. It was a passion. Hire Our Heroes has really, exploded. We're, a national nonprofit, and, we're changing lives. We're doing great things. And through that, we've continued to add a bunch of stuff onto the website. So, it's a little bit deep sometimes to find some things. We're working on that. We've got a new website being launched here, hopefully in the next few months. But we continue to push our mission forward, right?
Do you, just out of curiosity, do you keep any kind of metrics or do you track sort of where the hot employers are? Like where are people finding success?
Unfortunately, we don't have any metrics behind that. Everybody measures success in a bunch of different ways. We measure success by two ways. Getting people into our programs, veterans completing their training, and then ultimately at the end of the day, job placement. But I will tell you, it's hard to measure those, get actual numbers. Because sometimes veterans go out there, they get so excited and lost in life that they get certified, get a job, and they forget who Hire Our Heroes is. So, sometimes we've got to jump through walls to get that feedback.
You have to do the, hey, remember us?
Right. Yeah. Remember us? Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it is what it is. But you know, how many times you receive an email with a survey or something like that, and you know, you're like, oh, another one of these things. Delete.
Yeah.
So
we have probably about 2 minutes left. Are there any other programs that you want to push?
Listen, I mean, you know, there's another organization that we partner with where you can go and get a mentor. I encourage everybody to get a mentor. Everybody needs a coach, right? I mean, look at these professional players today. They all need coaches, and they all need to practice. Go out there, sign up for a mentorship through one of our partners, Veterati, or ACP, which is American Corporate Partners. You can sign up for free, no cost. Get a mentor, somebody that's going to help guide you along the way. Make sure if you don't already have a LinkedIn profile to go up there and set on a LinkedIn profile. You can get a free one-year membership through LinkedIn for one of their higher-level services, which is Job Finder. If you're a veteran, they'll give it to you for free for a year. Get a professional photo up there and make sure you start to build out your profile and have a resume attached to it.
And that stuff is all contained on your website, correct?
It is. Yep, and I'll be, like I said, I'll send out some additional intel for you to share with your team. I mean, I could talk about this stuff for hours. I'm passionate about it. You know, I'm just all about, you know, trying to help move the needle for anybody I can. So
don't let me cut you off. If you have more to say, have at it. Seriously, if you got something else.
I'm grateful for your time and the opportunity just to spread the word. You know, check out the job fairs, get a mentor, go out there and get some free training and, you know, position yourself for success is really all I could say.
Now, and that's all good advice. And I got to tell you, this is what a fantastic, I keep saying it, but what a great success story. This is so cool. And helping, it's genuinely helping. It's not like a one-off kind of, you know, here's a new pair of shoes kind of thing. This is setting people up for new lives.
That's what it's all about, right? You got to feed you got to put bread on the table, feed your wife and kids, and you know that's the only way I know how to do it.
Well, that's pretty amazing, Dan.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you want to come back on and give us some updates, you know, let me know.
Absolutely, I'll get you over some links, like I said, that you could share out to your listeners out there, and you know, any feedback, you know, corrective criticism. We're always open to that as well. HireOurHeroes.org and HireOurHeroes.com. Check us out.
Absolutely. And again, for anybody looking for a new job or to get certified in some of the stuff coming down the pike, like you said, cybersecurity seems to be the big one right now. Go to HireOurHeroes.com, HireOurHeroes.org, and walk through the process. Dan Caporel, founder and chairman of Hire Our Heroes. It's been a pleasure, and seriously, I appreciate it. This is awesome stuff.
Thank you, Jim. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, Dan. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, brother.
Bye.
And that does it for this episode of The Veterans Report. We appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, I'm your host, Jim Cannon.
You've been listening to The Veterans Report. Let others know about the show. You can find us online at theveteransreport.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to editor@theveteransreport.com. Join us again at the same time for up-to-date veterans news and information. The Veterans Report. Thank you for your service, and carry on.
The Veterans Report has been sponsored by James Cannon.